Right, mate, thanks very much for letting us in the house. Last time I was in here, Jim O'Brien on the guitar,
right.
Paddy McCourt on the whiskey at 6 in the morning, I think, and remember we, Jerry Carlisle's Brantano.
I remember, mate, Square Mules, weren't they? Square Toe Mules.
We stole his phone, we were phoning Arsene Wenger. He said it was Arsene Wenger, remember? Right. Oh, what a night. Anyway, right, we'll get started, mate. Just going back to when we were young pups, eh?
Mm-hmm.
I remember I came through, Faye Dundee, I think I was 15. And Jimmy Mark took us up to watch your team play, mate.
I was a couple of years older than you.
Well, yeah, I'm a couple of years older than you. I was 15, I was coming through full time, so came up to watch your team play. Remember seeing you playing, thinking, I may as well get the mega bus here, mate. I've got absolutely no chances. This is the standard, man, because it was a joy, mate. But obviously, back then, everyone was after you, weren't there? So many teams. Why did you choose to sign with Celtic?
When I was younger, when I was about 12 or 13, I went on trial to loads of different teams. I was going to sign for Arsenal, and it was my dad who basically said to me, he was like, "Look, you've got, how much chance have you got to get in the first team at Arsenal? Do you know what I mean? How many guys come back for when they're 16, 17 after getting released from Arsenal?" I said, "Obviously that might not happen to you, but get a far better chance of getting the first team at Celtic. You can stay at home, you won't get homesick." Along those lines, and I was like, "Nah, you're probably right." So I ended up signing for Celtic when I was 13, and just played obviously till I was, 16. Then went in full time. But I remember actually, my first, I was in school, and I get a phone call to play Youth Cup quarter final, and so I was only 15 at the time. Willie phoned me and said, "Oh, need to come in, so to leave school," and I got in. Obviously, like getting changed in the dressing room, mate. You get like Fozzy and all that, there, like older guys. Hair in their chest and all that. I've not even got an okay hair, do you know what I mean? Mate, I had a pair of FUBU boxers on. Mate, FUBU boxers, I'm thinking no one's ever going to see these. I had to go into the youth team dressing room, mate, and get changed.
Get slaughtered for them there.
No, mate, I kept them on, didn't even shower. I kept them on the full game. But that was like my first involvement with the youth team. And I came on that night, set up the winner.
Youth Cup final?
No, it was Youth Cup quarter final. Right, okay. It was at Rugby Park. And Martin Neal came in the dressing room after the game. And he picked me out and went, "Son, how old are you?" And I thought he was going to go like, "Oh, you were brilliant," or that. I went, "Oh, 15. He went, "You look about 8. And I was like, "All right." That was kind of it, really. And after that, I went in full time. And, I kind of always had in my head, I was looking at guys like Ross Wallace. Like, he was a year ahead of me, but he played for the first team the end of his first year in full time, didn't he? And I thought, that's my goal. I need to do that. And then I gave Willie a torrid time, do you know what I mean? I was ahead of myself because I thought, right, first thing, break into the youth team. Don't play under 16s, play under 18s when you're 16. So me, Charlie and Rudy were the ones that got moved up, played the full season. But I was going to see Willie saying, "Well, how am I on the first team?" Do you know what I mean? At 16. And now I look at it and go, "I wasn't ready," do you know what I mean? I didn't even have that good a season either. I had a decent season at youth team, but I was miles off it when I think about trying to play in the first team. And
is it only when you go and train with the first team that you realise?
Okay, it's only really when I never trained with the first team at all the first season. It was just youth team. We ended up winning the league, winning the Youth Cup. But I remember getting pulled back down to under 16s towards the end of the season. Jim pulled me back down because he was like, "Look, I don't think you're playing the way you can." And I went, "Nah." I went, "I agree with you, you're probably right." Played a few games back for under 16s and then ended that season quite well, finished. We went away to Germany with the youth team, played like a tournament over there. It was like Hamburg beat us in the final, Kevin Prince Boateng in that.
Wow.
But I ended up getting player of the tournament, and I kind of went away, had a good summer, then came back in that season, and that was the season, when I turned 17. That was when I really kicked on, really. Mm-hmm.
Did you always feel like Tommy and Willie and Jim were pushing you in to get into the first team?
No, not really, because Willie did everything he could to drop me at times.
Yeah.
I mean, going to see him after a Rangers game where he played he dropped me, played Rangers away, and he dropped me. And I was going to go and see him before the game, and I thought, "Nah, I'll wait till I get him after the game." And bus get back to Celtic Park, and I went, and I was like, "Willie, I want to talk to you. I'm 16, do you know what I mean?" I'm like, "Willie, I want to talk to you." Pulled him in, and then I was like, "How can you start that guy ahead of me?" And he's like, "Oh, Aidan, those guys playing for contracts and all that, there's a lot." I was like, "Nah, the best players should play." Now when I look back on it, I go,
"Why didn't you done that just because you were so desperate?"
I don't know, I probably thought, I probably had a lot of confidence in my own ability as well, and thinking I'm better than this guy that's playing. But now when I look back on it, I think I'm glad I've done it, but probably a couple of regrets as well, do you know what I mean? Because I gave Willie a torrid time that first year, chatting his door every couple of days, saying what's happening here, why am I not training with the first team and that. But yeah, this, Willie was brilliant, this, to be fair. Willie's, you know, Willie's like, he's a great guy, isn't he?
Uh-huh.
Obviously Tommy was there as well.
Tommy, he was really pushing for you, Tommy, wasn't he, always?
I had a few run-ins with Tommy as well, though, like, especially that first season. I was saying, how am I on the first team in that, you know? And he's going, you're not good enough yet. Mm-hmm. And I was like, nah, I think I am. And he's going, nah. Brought me back down to earth a few times as well. But it was only really the second season when I started to really, I was kind of playing off the striker and kind of playing up front. I started scoring goals every week for the youth team. Then I was just doing well. And I remember actually, I don't know if I've ever told you this one. The one I went with Kenny McDowell, when I went away with the Resies, no?
I do remember it.
Wow. Wow.
You actually, do you understand why you
did that? Aye.
So have you travelled up all the way up to Aberdeen?
Travelled all the way up to Aberdeen, like on a Tuesday, a Monday, mind the games like Monday night youth team, reserves. Get pulled up with the Resies, thought, oh, I'm going to play here. Well, I've got a good chance of maybe being on the bench and coming on. Travelled all the way up there, like in the morning, got up there, found out that Kenny wheels back that whiteboard, doesn't he? I used to. And just has the names of players who are playing on the bench. Me and Gary Fraser were on the bench. So I was like, hey, man, whole day, do you know what I mean, up there in Aberdeen. And I pulled me and Gary Fraser before the game. And he was like, lads, you know why he's here. He's here for the experience and that. He's understand that. And Gary Fraser's like, aye. And I went, nah. Here for, what do you mean experience? Sitting watching the Resies play? And he was like, is that the way you feel, aye? I was like, well, I'm just being honest. He went, see me tomorrow. And I was like, no, but Kenny. I was like, oh, but Kenny, you know what I mean? You know what I mean, though, Kenny? And he just walked into the dressing room, and I was like, oh, what have I done here? So then I walked into the dressing room after that, and like, all the Resi players were all going, like, looking at me, going, who's this wee guy I think he is? And so I played the game, and I travelled back down. I was training with the youth team the next day. And we're training down the bottom pitch at Barrowfield, and I get shouted out halfway through training.
From who?
From Willie. Willie went like, got to get yourself up to the dressing room. Training was going on. And I was like, oh, something bad's happening here. So I ran up the hill as quick as I could, got all the way into the dressing room, and Kenny and John Robertson were there.
Oh, no.
John Robertson, do you know what I mean? And I was like, so I walked in.
Was that like,
I was like, oh, how are you doing? He was like, sit down there. Hey, John Robertson absolutely terrorised me, man. I swear I was almost crying. He was like, you might have been a good player when you were at school. Here, you're just like everybody else. You might have been good when you were 15, 16. Now, who are you? Who do you think you are? To be fair, I probably needed it, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, in a way, I shouldn't have said it. Of course I shouldn't have said it, but Kenny, I think Kenny remembered it as well. Because right after the John Robertson walked out, Kenny was brilliant. Kenny goes like that to me. He said, look, whatever, it's done. Do you know what I mean? You made a mistake, but look, you're not going to be involved for a while with me, but start working hard on that, and we'll see what happens. And within 2 or 3 months, I was starting for the Resies every week.
And was that when, after playing for the Resies for week
played
in,
for
week
the Resies, week in, week out,
the call to go up with the first team?
I went, I was probably doing well for the Resies, and thinking, oh, I might get a wee chance here with it, like training with the first team and that, and remember getting told before training, me, Rocco, Rocco and Paul Lawson, get the shout to go up and train with the first team.
Yeah.
Not mixed training, you know, where it's like half first team, half Resies. Like, it was just us three with the first team, so everybody was there, do you know what I mean? Henrik Larsson.
Were you nervous?
I was nervous, aye. Of course I was nervous. Like, remember that first day, I was thinking to myself, I don't actually know if I'm good enough here, because ball was going under my foot. Lenny was absolutely torturing me. Lenny was actually this. Who is this guy? Who is this wee guy? Who is this wee guy? What am I training with here? And after that, I was like, oh, don't get me the ball.
I
remember doing a couple of things all right after that, but
and then I remember, 5 minutes, I've done something decent, I'll just hide for 5 minutes.
Just hide behind the advertising boardings, mate, at Barrowfield, lying down, shooting for the ball. and a wee squeaky voice, guy, was it? No, it was after that session, I was thinking, I don't know if I'm good enough here, or if the occasion got to me, I thought, I don't know if I'll train with the first team again.
So what turned that then? What,
I don't know, I just...
You started to...
I then started training with the first team kind of every day, and then you start to get used to it, you know, when you start to think, do you know what, I'm good enough here. Uh-huh. Like, training with the first team every day. I travelled with the first team for about 10 games in a row. Was in the stand every game, to be fair, but I was still training with the first team every day. And then I just thought, you know, you start to become comfortable. You know what it's like yourself. Uh-huh. You become comfortable, and then you start to probably show what you can do. I got one back on Lenny, to be fair, though.
Eventually.
Because Lenny took, like, terrorised me that day. But then after that, he was fine. And know what he's like. I've got the ball in training, and there's nowhere else to go. And he's running towards me full pace. And I was just like, that Megs.
Did you call it now?
No, I don't think I called it, but I've just megged him. And he was like threatening to kill me and all that. I'm going to do that again, I'll kill you and all that stuff. And I was like, oh, all right. Like, just still a young guy, still only 17. And I was just like, oh, all right. And I remember Tomo came up and he's like, give you 100 quid if you meg him again. And I was like, nah, Tomo, I can't. I was like, nah, mate, let you battle me. And Henrik Larsson came over and went like that. You want to meg him again? Meg him.
Did he?
You want to meg him again? Meg him. You're on the same pitch as him. You deserve to be there. And I went, ah, you're right. I never megged him again. But if I just remember that stuck out to me. Like, he came away over and he was like, does it matter? You want to meg him again? Meg him.
That's brilliant, eh?
Uh-huh. And I was just thinking, that's class coming for him as well. You know,
so,
what I mean?
10 weeks, you said about 10 games you were away in the squad and stuff like that. When was, leading up to your debut, was did you know you were going to be starting? Did you have a wee inkling or?
Honestly, I didn't have a clue. No. I thought we played... We played Aberdeen a couple of games before it, and it was the league had already been won, and I thought, I've got a chance against Aberdeen. I think me and Barra were in the squad, and we both thought we'd be playing, or we might get a chance. The two of us were in the stand again, the two of us were like to each other, can I get a game now? It was like, well, we've no chance of playing. And then we'd, leading up to that, so I travelled away, been to like the Barcelona game and all that stuff, was in the stand for about 10, 11 games, and then we played a practice match on the Friday. Were you involved in it?
No, I don't.
Do you remember?
No.
With a practice match on the Friday, and Martin Neal came down to watch.
I was involved.
Remember when you got the shout? Martin Neal's come down to watch. The tempo went up 10 notches. People were chasing down lost causes, man, at the corner.
Headless chickens, wasn't it?
Oh, tackles are flying a lot. But I remember he came down to watch that game, and I did really well. Scored a couple of goals in that, and. But then I think we were training the Saturday with the first team, travelled to through to Tynecastle, travelled through to Edinburgh for the game, and then sort of the usual, like, just sitting there. Like, you never, even now to this day, he still doesn't like give you a clue that you're playing or that. He just walks in the dressing room, everything goes silent, and just whips out that bit of like crumpled up hotel newspaper in it, and he's just got his team written on it. Still the same to this day, even with Ireland. And he just starts reading out the team, you know, Douglas, Agat.
It's not even positions he does, is it? It's just a
little bit. No, he doesn't even know the position, he just reads the kind of team out, and then, so he's reading out the names, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh, I'll be in the stand. And he's like, McGeady. And I was like, I'm actually playing here. You know that way you get that feeling, like, just surreal really, to find out you're playing, and then.
So after he named that team, he never even came up to you, I want this for you, that for you?
No,
that.
Nothing. I didn't even know when I was playing. I was at to Wally, Stevie Walford. I was like, Wally, where am I playing? He's like, I'll tell you one, son, listen up. I was like, all right, well, where am I playing then? He went, oh, you're up front of Henrik.
Wow.
And I was like, right, I'm not a striker though, you know that? He was like, nah, just, you know, do what you've been doing, just, you know, coming off the lines, you know, just drop into holes and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, it's a bit nervous, obviously, but it's different playing in a stadium for the first time with a crowd. Uh-huh. Do you know what I mean? Like a full crowd. It's surreal. But it couldn't have gone any better for me. I remember I was thinking to myself, before you play in the first team, you know, when you want to play in the first team, your goal is to play first team football. Uh-huh. And I was thinking, what if the first ball goes under my foot and that, and I've a beast or whatever. Uh-huh. But I think someone played the ball down the corner, chased it, and then I got it and I done like the turn, I've done that, won the free kick, and then straight after that, Petros put the ball in the box, and it's came to me at the back stick, and I've just caught it, sweet, and like, it was so, like,
slow motion,
honestly, because obviously the Hearts fans don't celebrate, obviously, when a goal goes in for us, so it went in, and I was thinking, did that actually go in there? And then you hear the Celtic fans celebrating, and it was just, unbelievable, do you know what I mean, to score in your debut after 15
minutes. See, before the game, Martin O'Neill never said anything. Would any of the players come up and say, would they give you any advice, or was it just sink or swim? I can't really remember,
sink or swim.
And you're giving it the back
of the road. Oh, mate, I was butterflying.
Who was it? Was it Big Ellis? Was it Big Ellis you were up against? Was it him you sent for the sausage supper, man?
No, that was Andy Webster.
What was it, Big Webster?
He gets sent for a Chinese, didn't he?
But none of the players would come up and...
I can't really remember. I think they probably did because it's your debut and you're only I've just turned 18, and I can't really remember exactly. But I just remember being like a bit nervous and shooting practice before the game and stuff. I'm sticking balls all over the place. Uh-huh. But that obviously the goal settled me right down, and after that I just enjoyed it.
Man of the match.
Got man of the match. Yeah, yeah. I just enjoyed it, and I remember getting taken off and like, walking off the pitch, and you've never done that, clap fans before. So I'm just walking off and Martin was like, hey, clap the fans. And I'm like, giving it to Theo Walcott, clap. So, it was just an unbelievable day. And I remember, like, none of my mates went to the game either.
None of my family were there.
No, because they didn't think I'd be playing. And straight away, I came back and got my, like, went on the bus, got my phone. Everyone's texting me, oh, we're out tonight. Uh-huh. Ended up, so you go from being... not known at all to I went out in Glasgow that night and you're signing autographs for people.
I know, thinking you might be in the squad again and you're the top man.
Signing autographs. I remember trying to actually get a knockback from the Shack that night. Remember the Shack? So I got a knockback from there, but my mate's like,
you still had the strip and jumps on it?
I had a 46 on it. Trying to come up. No lolly. No lolly.
So you said about the youth game, youth cup final, quarter final, Martin O'Neill said that little thing to you.
Aye.
See, after your debut was still the same, no much praise to you now.
He's a different type of manager. He will give you praise. I think he did, you know, after that. I remember one of the ones that sticks out of my mind is, do you remember we played AC Milan, the game at home?
Colaccini. And he's twisted his spine like he's done it.
When he went to see Steadman after it. After that game, obviously I had a good game that night, and him and John Robertson pulled me after that, and they were like, you need to settle yourself down, like, you know, there's going to be a lot of hype about you now, and stuff like that. Because I hadn't really played much for the first team before that. I'd kind of played the first couple of games of the season, had a really good pre-season, played the first few games of the season, then he kind of dropped me from nowhere. Never played much at all, and then played against Motherwell and scored, and then I played against AC Milan on Tuesday. Yeah. I think I was actually out the Saturday night as well.
I think we were out, I remember
in
that.
In the tunnel. Saturday night as well, and we were playing AC Milan on Tuesday.
So you
end up getting man of the match.
Putting performances like that against AC Milan, see like the Sutton Glennons, is that joint, that's when the acceptors is one of them?
I think so. I think that season is when, I mean, I was only 18 and I ended up playing 40 games that season, do you know what I mean? Obviously the manager showed loads of faith in me from that point on. Played a lot of games. But far more than I ever could imagine. You know, at the end of that season, I'm still in the resi changing room though. So you have to earn it to get
still
in that first team dressing.
Shenanigans in the resi
still
changing
room. Shenanigans. That was a great dressing.
Oh,
a great dressing. But so I guess I'm still in the resi changing room. But that was probably halfway through that season. I say, look, that's when you get accepted by the first team, by the big hitters. Do you know what I mean?
But as you told me before, still trying to stitch you up. And there was it the trip to America, Big Hartson.
No, but the one I get stitched up with was Alan Thompson.
I was telling you about the window.
Aye, so obviously that was a good dressing as well, but they were older players, do you know what I mean? And I think that's kind of gone from the game now a bit.
Definitely.
Do you know what I mean? I think it's gone from the game now. You've got those kind of big personalities in that dressing room. Obviously Sutton, Henrik had left, but then you've got Sutton, Hartson, Lenny, do you know what I mean? Guys who are up for a laugh all the time, guys who are like schooling the younger boys, do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like,
everything was like a test or trying to wind you up
ahead. Test, aye. But the first time I get done with Tomo was we used to train at Glasgow Green.
Uh-huh.
And Gunnar was driving the bus. So I was working at Celtic Park and they came and picked me up and I'm sitting in the back of the bus and Tomo was behind us in his car and the lads are like, somebody jump out and pull up his window wipers. I was like, I'll do it. So I've opened the back of the bus and jumped out and pulled up his window wipers. But Gunnar's drove the bus away.
So you're standing around.
You're talking like Kerry Dale Street, you know. He's taking a right to go down London Road and he's drove the bus off. So I'm pulling up Alan Thompson's window wipers and going on driving the bus off with the door open. So then I've pulled them up and Tom was like, what are you doing, young lad? So I started running away, so I'm running down London Road, my Freddy's on. And Tom was chasing me in his car and the Gunnar's driving the bus. And Tom drives ahead of me and I'm still sprinting and he pulls in and he's like, what's your name? And I was like, oh, Aidan McGeady. And he was like, I'm telling the gaffer about this, you'll not get away with this. And I was like, oh, sorry, big man. Like, just a bit of banter, like, the lads were saying do it. He went, nah, I'm not having that. So then Gunnar obviously realised that I was at the back of the bus, the lads were going, stop that. So I've jumped on and I was like, oh, I can't believe I've just done that, man. I'm going to get absolutely terrorised here. And I remember after that, I was working with Midge up at Dundee United away.
Right.
Yeah, you know, working with Clarkie, so putting the first team boots out and all that. So me and Midge were standing outside the first team dressing room, you know, when obviously they're all in. And Tomo kept opening the door, right? And I'm standing there, and he would open the door and look at me. And then walk straight towards Martin O'Neill, and then the door would close. And I'm like, he's going to tell the gaffer. He's going to tell the gaffer on that. But then nothing happened really. And I thought, I've got away with this here. And the old boot room at Celtic Park was under the stairs, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Or down the tunnel on the right hand side. And I'm standing at the back holding a pair of boots. And Tomo and Rob Douglas have come in. And I'm like, everybody out, apart from you. And I'm standing at the back like that. Oh, lads, don't leave. And then they've shut the door. Mate, Rab held me down, and Tom would just get shoe polish and polished me from head to toe.
Oh.
Yeah, I was going home the train, man, that day with a little black face, shoe polished up, dubbing.
That's probably not. How come that doesn't happen anymore?
I don't know. The game's different now, I think. Especially for younger players. Younger players are now all about social media and stuff, aren't they? They want to have 10,000 followers on Instagram before they played a game in the first team.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. There's probably more of a lack of respect, I would say now, for senior players. Do you know what I mean?
But see, other thing, you didn't get senior players like them now, did you? Senior players didn't play that.
No, I even think, you know, the way a manager used to like have a go at you in the dressing room, I even think that's going out now.
Mm.
There's times where I think, right, have a go at him, and the manager will be like, no, you can't, he's a young lad, you don't want to go on his case. I'm thinking, when I was a young lad, people would slaughter me. Do you know what I mean? You done something out of line, the manager would slaughter you. But it's just, the game's changing. That is changing.
See, when I was younger, like, if I knew I was training the first team next day, I wouldn't be able to sleep the night before, worrying, you know, like, nervous. But whereas now, young lads, like you say, they think they should be.
Young lads training the first team now, and not so much when I was at Preston last season, but young lads will train with the first team, and they'll do something wrong, and you'll have a go at them, and they'll answer back to you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Never even played a game in their life.
But you would never dream of
I would never have done that.
No.
But Lenny slaughtered me, I would never have done that. Too much respect, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, was it at the American trip after the AC Milan game that
this was before. So, that was the pre-season. I'd gotten the first team into that season, then I came back thinking, I hope I'm with the first team pre-season. Ended up, I signed a new contract just the end of that season there, and then I came back in pre-season with the first team. So, in Seattle, me and a few of the lads, me and Hank Wallace and Marshy and that, went out for a bit of shopping and that, and we bumped into Big John. Was on his own as well,
right.
Out shopping on his own. So we walked into a shop and he's clocked us straight away. He's like, lads, come over here. Oh, hey, Eddie. Picks up the worst red leather jacket I've ever seen in my life. But I'm thinking, what's he getting at here? He's like, oh, try that on, lad. Hey, a pair of Timby boots. I'd look the nuts. A pair of Timbies with that, lad. And I was like, nah, oh, John, I don't know if this is me. Like, I'm looking at the lads going,
should I buy this to her?
Oh, look at this. Thinking, is this his style? Is this what he's into here? So then he started getting me to buy it, and I was like, he was pushing me into it. He was
close,
like,
to buy it,
it's like, hey, I'll half you in for it. And I was like, ah, John, it's not really me, you know. And he's going, nah, I'm telling you, man, a pair of Timby boots, man. Imagine that in the tunnel on a Saturday night. So eventually I went, nah, John, I'm just going to leave it. I might come back later on. But I walked out the shop going, I don't know what he's into. Like, I didn't really know what he was getting at. Like, I was thinking, I don't really know what's going on here. Going to lads, that was the worst jacket I've ever seen. Man, what's he all about, man? Is he like that? Got back to the hotel and like a few of the older lads, like I think Jackie McNamara and that, were going, held you with a whisker away from buying the worst jacket in Seattle. And I was like, oh,
stitch
off a belter. Right. But see now, at the time, I didn't even really, I didn't realise what was doing, but now I go, stitch him up to get me to buy the worst jacket. It was about $500, is it, jacket?
I'll have you.
He's willing to spend $250 for banter.
That's different levels,
eh? For banter. Just to see me walking in on the night out with that regular jacket on. Oh, that's funny.